follow. You remember what we've talked about so far? We talked about first week, we talked about following Jesus through what? Baptism, water baptism. Next week, the second week of this series, what did we talk about? Anybody remember? Worshiping God. How many of you believe worship is a powerful part of you following Jesus? Yes. Worshiping God, absolutely. How many of you believe you should worship? How many of you believe you should listen to my message if you don't know how to worship? All right, so here's the deal now. After we talked about that, what did we talk about last week? Fellowship. How many of you believe fellowship is an important part of God and the kingdom of God in the church? Absolutely. Now this week, I did not feel like I could end this series without talking about this. Now I've talked about this before, so this isn't going to be your first rodeo as far as this subject. But it is my heart that I could expound on and explain it in detail in some more different areas so that you and I could be on the same page whenever we leave here today or to the best of my ability. So here's what we're going to talk about. What is it take, and again, this series has all been about practical ways of following Jesus. I know there are a lot of different ways, but what are the practical ways? So that's why I believe worship is an important part, water baptism, being saved, obviously, fellowship with other believers, absolutely. And this one right here, I just couldn't close this series out without talking about it. And it really is what Jesus said will make you great. It's really the greatest thing according to the Bible. Anybody got any idea what that would be? Huh? Here it is. Somebody said it right here. Servanthood. How many of you believe being a servant is what it's all about when it comes to the kingdom? Man, it is all about being a servant. That God wants you and I to be a servant. That in all that we do, we have to understand that in the bottom line, when it all shakes down, all we are simply are servants of the Most High God. Or at least that should be our heart. Amen? So with that being said, today I begin to think about, over the last couple of weeks, I've been thinking about, you know, what are the things that really kind of hinder us from being the best servant of all, or hinder us from really serving to begin with? And really, the truth of the matter is, I think I boiled it down to basically one thing, and it has to do with one of the core values that are hanging out there on the wall of the church. But I believe this beyond anything else, and for you to understand it, I think I can show you through hamburgers. Where this is coming from. All right, so check this out. How many of you believe about 40 years ago, whenever you used to go to McDonald's, what would you order? Anybody remember? What's the big thing that McDonald's is known for? The Big Mac, right? And whenever you went into McDonald's, you know, they had a little saying, you know, you get the special sauce and blah, 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 and all the condiments on it, right? And how many of you know back then, and I'm aging myself with some of y'all, how many back then, that whenever you went into specifically fast food, you got it the way they made it. Anybody remember that? I know some of the kids in the room are going to be like, what? Oh, yeah, that was the deal. You went in and you got a hamburger, whatever, cheeseburger, whatever. You got it the way they said you got it, right? They didn't do anything. And then there was a restaurant. You can help me. You know where I'm going. You know, there was a restaurant, a fast food chain that came out with a whole new idea. Anybody know what it's called? Gary, if you failed this quiz, you do not belong owning Burger Kings. Have it your way. Matter of fact, I even did some Burger King research, and here's what I found. This was one of their little things that they used to say. Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. Absolutely, right? Am I right, Gary? Yeah, absolutely. They were actually, and this is no joke, they actually pioneered, really, before Burger King came out with this, that was really one of those deals where you went up to the window, you ordered whatever you ordered, and it came the way it came, and whatever you didn't like, you picked off. Right? That was just the way it was. And then Burger King came out with this idea of your way right away. They're going to do it your way. So you become the king, and you begin to decide what you want on your hamburger, and that's how they did. That's how that whole thing got started. How many of you know after they did it, everybody started buying into it? To where now, I mean, you can go anywhere, and you can get it your way. Well, I'll say it this way. If you go to McDonald's, you can intend it to get it your way, but whatever. And I don't think we have any McDonald's owners in our church, but anyway. But the reality is, though, you get it your way. Now, I don't know if you're this way. I do not know if you're this way, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about Charlie Riley. You ready? Charlie Riley When Charlie pays for food, Charlie wants it his way. To the point that I annoy my family. I kid you not. We go to Chili's sometimes. I like Chili's. We like to go there sometimes. Whenever I go to Chili's, here's what I order. Most of the time, I'll get soup and salad. And I'll say, I want a salad. I want no tomatoes, no onions. All right? Okay, now, if you get the unlimited deal, you get soup and salad. The soup I get is potato soup. Now, hear me how I order potato soup. This annoys everybody in my family, by the way. I tell them, here's what I want. I want your potato soup. First of all, make sure there's some potatoes in there. Anybody ever ordered soup and it was called potato soup? But anyway, bring me potato soup, but here's what I want. I want cheese. I want bacon bits, but I want about 10 to 15. I don't want you to overload it. All right? And I don't want green onions. No green onions. Hold the green onions, because green onions belong sautéed in something. They're not a finishing garment. They don't go on top. Can I get a witness for anybody who knows how to cook? Praise God. Green onions belong in it, not on top. My family will sit there and go. It used to be real bad whenever the kids lived at home, you know. Well, one of them still does, praying. But seriously, we would go through a drive-thru and they hated when I ordered. Because here's the deal. My voice, how many of you know my voice carries? How many of you know I don't even need a microphone? They do this to record it for the radio. But anyway, so I will pull up to a drive-thru. This used to happen all the time. And I'd be like, hold on just a second. Okay, so what do you, how many of you dudes know where I'm coming from? It's like, okay, so what do you want? You want a number one? You want a number one? What kind of sauce you want with the number one? What you don't want that on it? So I got you as a number one with no sauce? No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to these people in the car. All right, hold on just a second. And by the time we end up ordering and getting our food, we're driving away and Michelle is like, be happy you got food. You know what I mean? Because truth be known, man, I can jack up an order ordering through a drive-thru. But here's my whole theory on this, all right? Now, this has nothing to do with my message, but anyway, no, it really does. Here's the reality. The reality is, though, here's my theory on this. And again, I don't know if you're this way, but this is how I see it. If I'm paying money to eat, I want it my way. Because the reality is, I can jack up and make bad stuff at my house. Amen? Amen. So whenever I come out, and actually last night, I preached this message about food, and then we went out to eat afterwards, out back, and went there, and they brought me my steak, and they brought the steak out, and I wanted medium well, medium well. That baby was mooing. No, take it back. Sorry, too much money in this thing. And now listen, if it was free, I'd be like, well, you know, that's what you get. But how many of you know you're paying? Praise God. I want what I want. Praise God. And now listen, I have no problem with people being that way. I'm that way. I get it. I identify with it. I understand it. That's the way I think. I want my food my way. Praise God. I want it my way. All right, now, and I tip, okay? But let me just tell you this. Over the last 40 years, starting off with Burger King, I can tell you that that mentality, though, sometimes does damage. And ultimately, let me tell you where it does damage. Ultimately, that mentality does damage within the church. Because here's what happens. When you live in a culture that says you are the king and you get it your way right away, and they begin to now translate that over into, say, church or kingdom of God, or in a relationship with God, how many of you know you ain't the king? How many of you know it's not your way right away? How many of you know he is the king, and it's his way, and that we're not here to serve ourselves, we're here to serve him? How many of y'all hear that? So I believe that is one of the greatest challenges in our culture. One of the greatest challenges in our culture is convincing people that even though in a lot of things in this on this planet, you are the king and the consumer is king and all that stuff, but when it comes to church and when it comes to the kingdom and when it comes to growing in your faith, can I tell you, you should not look at yourself as king. You should not look at yourself as your way right away. Matter of fact, I'll tell you, most of the time it's not your way in the kingdom of God. Come on, anybody know where I'm coming from? So understanding that becomes a major issue, especially when it comes to growing your faith and becoming a servant. Because you can't be a servant and have it your way. The very fact that you're called a servant says it's not your way, it's the one you're serving's way. Come on, anybody know where I'm coming from this morning? So check this out. I got this verse for you, Matthew 23. It says this: "But he who is greatest among you shall be called," or shall be your servant. Do you want to be great in the kingdom? Let me ask you this by show of hands. How many of you want to be great for God? Man, I hope so. I hope so. I want to be great for God. And I recognize that to be great, I must be a servant. And understand this. Whenever it comes to being a servant, I'm not talking about you doing religious activities. Sometimes people confuse those two. They think, well, because I'm doing something, that makes me a servant. No. We're not talking about you doing stuff. Because you doing something for the wrong reason is not a servant. That's a slave. You're to be a servant. See, a servant is not concerned about what I get. A servant is not concerned about the glory that I get. The servant is concerned about the glory that who he represents gets. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? And that is the focal point. The focal point is not me. The focal point, get this, in serving God is not that I get glory. The focal point is that he gets glory. The focal point of serving God is not that I get to do something. It's that he gets to get glorified in the matter. Anybody know what I'm saying here? See, and here's the truth. You can't have both of these at the same time. You can't have a consumer mentality and a contributing mentality. See, everybody in here is in one of these two lanes, consumer or a contributor. Now, let me start off by saying this. You ready? Everyone starts out as a consumer of God. Everyone. I did. When I first got saved, it was all about, Lord, I pray that you would do this for me and that you would heal me and that you would save me and you would bless me and you would this me and you would that me and you would this me and you would that me. And guess who the focus was? It was me. But can I tell you, through a series of progressional things in my life, hopefully and prayerfully, God has led me to be more of a contributor than a consumer. I believe it is okay for you and I to start off right here as consumers of the things of God. God wants to bless. God wants to increase. God wants to do all those things. Absolutely no doubt about it. He enjoys blessing you. And at the same time, he wants you to grow to a point where you recognize that your faith is not just about you, but it really is all about glorifying him at some point in time. I'll give you a great example of this, and we're going to look at it from a story that you may have not recognized before. But how many of you have heard of this man called Nicodemus? Right? Nicodemus is a man in the Bible, John 3. We get John 3:16 from this discourse. Great verse. Most people know it. But here's the reality. Here's what happened. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler over the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do the things and signs that you do unless God is with him. That's a powerful thing. But I want you to take note of some things. He came to Jesus by night. He had a powerful position within the Jewish people. He came to Jesus by night. He didn't bring anything. If you'll study the whole discourse, he really was, tell me what I need to do to receive eternal life. Tell me what my responsibilities are. Tell me what I need to do. Guess where the focus was? It was him. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night with the focus of all of himself, thinking about himself. Now, I want you to contrast that with this right here. This is John 19, same guy writing the same writings, but this is what happened here. This is 3.5 years later. Jesus has been crucified. He has been buried. His body is dead. at this point. Watch this. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took the body of Jesus. Look at this. And who? And Nicodemus. Watch what happens. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, which tells you he's not coming by night right now, came at night, also came bringing what? A mixture of myrrh, aloes, and 100 pounds of that stuff so that he could prepare, this story goes on, that they took the body of Jesus, bound him up in strips and in linen with the spices as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Say, Pastor Charlie, what are you seeing in that? Let me tell you what I see. I see a man who came to Jesus initially with the only interest of himself. What can you do for me, Jesus? What can you do for me? 3.5 years go by, and now we find Nicodemus showing up, not at night. He's not ashamed. He's not embarrassed. Not ashamed to be identified with Jesus. He walks up. He brings myrrh. He brings incense. He brings linen. He brings everything, about 100 pounds worth of stuff, to be able to bury Jesus. And now get this. Jesus can't do anything. Remember, in their minds, he's dead. He's not there to get anything. In his mind, it's over. He's there simply to serve. He's simply there to honor. He's simply there to give back. To me, that speaks volumes to me. And he's not doing it by night. He's doing it in public in front of everybody. Doesn't even bother him a bit. Say, Pastor Charlie, is there anything powerful about that? Absolutely. Absolutely. See, it's okay to start following Jesus by night. Nobody know it. Anybody an underground Christian? You won't raise your hand, I know. You don't want anybody to know. Matter of fact, you're shocked you're at church. Like, I hope nobody sees it. But listen, here's the truth. It's okay to start underground. Because eventually this thing's going to grow on the inside of you. And God's going to grow on the inside of you. And God's going to grow on the inside of you. And what used to be all about you turns at some point. And it becomes not about you any longer. It becomes really about him. And about honoring him, and about serving him. Or at least, let me say it this way, that's the natural progression of the way it should be. I will tell you this, there is a danger to a lot of believers that they would grow in God to the point of when God asked them to stop thinking about themselves and start thinking about the kingdom of God, start thinking about something greater than themselves, and they'll plateau right there because they simply like faith centered around them instead of centered around him. But God wants you to not center it around you, to center it around him. Amen? Let me give you one more thing here along that. This is the way I kind of put it in words. Faith that focuses on self versus faith that impacts the world. Which one do you more identify with? See, in my world, I'm not you. Well, I'm not saying I don't pray for my needs or whatever, but I'll be honest with you. I don't spend a lot of time praying for things that I want or need. Because here's what I've learned. God knows what my needs are, and he blesses me, and I usually don't even have to pray for them. I get things far and above and beyond anything I ask for. Some of you are like, really? Yeah, really. Because here's what I've learned. Listen to this. By me wanting to just bless other people, God will open up the windows of heaven over your life. Yeah, absolutely. I feel supernaturally blessed. I really do. And I don't believe God has any favorites, although I'm his favorite. How many of you know you're his favorite too? How many of you know God is no respecter of person? Right? So he'll bless you the same way he blesses me. But here's what I've realized. If I only live my faith to bless me, how many of you know that is a small view of what God wants to do in my life? As soon as I flip the switch and I say, Lord, let my faith impact the world around me. How many of you know God's about to pour out some stuff on your life? He really will, because he wants to bless you, but he wants you to understand that it's not about you. It's about serving him with all that he's given you. Come on, amen? I believe that with all my heart. So let me ask you this. What is the definition of someone who contributes? I'll give it to you in my way. Here it is. Someone who puts a priority on attending and investing in the local church. See, I believe that the local church is the hope of the world. I believe we are the Navy SEAL, Army Ranger. Is there a special Coast Guard? Coast Guard. I don't know. Marine Recon of the kingdom of God. That the local church is what impacts the world for Jesus. Right? And so because of that, I believe it is so vital that you serve the Lord in the church and outside the church. So I'm going to break it down for you this way. I'm going to give it two ways. Number one, here it is. God calls you to serve in his church. Do you believe that? God calls you to serve in his church. Absolutely true. God calls you. Now, I can't tell you, Pastor Charlie, I want to know what I'm called to do. I don't know what you're called to do. I didn't know what I was called to do. See, here's the way we look at it. We look at it like this. Pastor Charlie, if I'm called to do it, then I can get plugged into a church and the first thing I do will be what God's called me to do. Can I tell you it doesn't work that way? I can tell you this. When I first came out of the military and moved back to Indiana, the first thing they did at the church that I was attending is they put me in charge of the youth. Why? Because I was 23, 24 years old, and they said, you love Jesus? You should be in charge of the youth. I took that youth from 12 people to one. I ain't lying a bit. I ain't lying a bit. They didn't even have to ask me to step down. I knew something was wrong. Why? I'd show up, the kids would show up. I'm like, all right, everybody shut up, sit down, let's go. Here's the board, and I'm drawing the Bible out, talking about this. And I thought, you know what? I might not be called to this. Because, you know, when you're young and you love God, that's the thing they want to throw you at, youth ministry. Well, no. I killed that, man. That was that. So they moved me out of there. Wise. Then I thought, you know what? Forget them. I want to evangelize. I love reaching people, you know, reaching new people. So I started evangelizing. I preached a couple different places and did a couple things. And I realized, you know what? That's not really my cup of tea either. You say, well, why not, Pastor Charlie? Because here's the truth. I had way more material than they were willing to listen. They were like, you're not our pastor, you're the evangelist. You need to go home. Well, crud, I need a series. So that didn't work. So eventually, here's what happened. They asked me to take over a Sunday school class and start a Wednesday night Bible study, adult Bible study. Man, they put me in that room, those people. Man, I thrived. I thrived because the adults were like, let's go deeper. I'm like, yes, let's go deeper. Like, teach us something we don't know. Oh, I know all kinds of stuff I don't know either. Go ahead, I know what I'm saying. I mean, I loved it. And that's really how I tapped into the idea that I love preaching and I love teaching and I love what I do. I love, it's a privilege. It's so awesome. I just absolutely loved it. I tapped into it, get this, not by sitting there, I tapped into it by initiating and saying, you know what? I may not figure it out today or tomorrow, but eventually I'm going to figure this thing out and I'm going to figure out what God has called me to do to serve his people. Amen? Amen? So don't think you're going to hit it the first time, but I can assure you of this. God has called you to absolutely do something in his church. Check this out. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, right? But to serve. Now, I was thinking about this. What hinders most people from serving in the local church? Okay? In the local church, what hinders most people from serving? And I think I got an idea. So here I'm going to give it to you this way. I'm going to give it to you this way, and then I'll explain it. Become better and then belong. Versus belong to and then become better. You see, most people are like, whoa. When I get better, I'll start doing something for Jesus. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, when I get better. Okay, now get this. Dex LeMay, the guy who mentored me in the Bible before I started going to Bible college, he asked me to teach a Bible study at his house. He was a Bible teacher. He asked me to do a Bible study at his house. I'm like, sure, yeah, Dex. I'm like, but I don't know anything. But here's what I realized. Everyone that was coming there knew less than me. So I realized this. A one-eyed man in a blind man's world, he's king. Right? It's like, how much do they know? Well, they know nothing. I know 3 weeks worth. I'm like, yeah, I can teach. He's like, what do you know? I don't know none. He helped me put my lesson together and everything and helped me. I still remember the message. The message to that small group was called, "The Soul is the Goal." It was real deep. I read it all. Read it all. Hey, but let me tell you something. I served. Did I know everything about the Bible? Mm-mm. Most people are like, "Well, Pastor Charlie, don't start teaching the Bible until you know everything." Listen, I've been at this for a while now, and I can tell you I still don't know everything. I know this much on a scale of that. I don't know everything. I know a little bit, enough to teach and share. Praise God. See, it's amazing. This is the mentality in the church world. In the church world, the mentality is, well, as soon as I get it all together, I get my life all together, I get my finances all together, I get this all together, get my marriage all together, get all this stuff together, then I can go out and impact somebody else's life. But you know what? That mentality doesn't work in everything else you do on this planet. Let me give you an example. How many of you knew all about marriage before you got married? How many of you had you known? How many of you know there was a whole lot of stuff you didn't know about marriage until you got married? Then they're like, "Whoa, we didn't think of that one." Come on, am I right? Think about your kids. Did you figure out all the kid thing and then you're like, "I think we should have kids. We understand them." Does that even make sense? I remember whenever they, Eglin Air Force Base, they handed us Whitney and they're like, "Here you go. You guys can go home." I'm like, "What now? What now?" You know, about a half hour later, well, I figured something out. Oh, come on. That was funny right there. I figured that part out. But here's the reality. The reality is, get this, you don't know everything about your car, but you drove it. Hey, I love hot rods. Most of you know I love hot rods. I have a Roadster. I love it. And I'll tell you the honest truth is, I know a lot about cars, but I don't know everything. But I can tell you this. By not having it and not participating in it, I don't learn anything. I love guns, love hunting, love doing shooting, love all that stuff. And I can tell you this, I didn't wait till I figured out all the guns, all the ammo, how a gun works, what makes a gun work, how gunpowder works, what shells are. I didn't learn about all that stuff and go, "Okay, now I'm ready to go buy a gun." No, I went and bought a gun and be like, "What do I do now?" Right? Listen, I can tell you most of the things in our life we have an interest in, and then we jump into it, and we learn as we go. But in the church, it's like, "Well, I need to figure it all out before I get involved. I need to this, I need to that. And it becomes simply excuses for not serving God when God is calling you to serve God. Amen? Amen, for sure. Absolutely. See, the truth is, here's what God wants you to know. You become better and then you belong is a bad mentality. What God really wants you to know is this: belong to and then you become better. You belong to something or whatever it might be and you become better at it. Whether it's a mechanic, whether it's your job, whether it's whatever, a hobby, something you enjoy, you become a part, you go buy one and then you gotta upgrade. Why? Because you learn from someone else, that one's better. So you get rid of the one you got or you keep the one you got and then you go find something better. Come on, am I right? Yes. That's how you learn. Can I tell you it's the same way in the kingdom of God? It's the same way with serving God. That you figure out, I'm going to belong to the church. I'm going to belong to a part. I'm going to figure it out as I go and as I grow in God. Amen? That's the way you're going to do it. So it's okay to belong to at Abundant Life Church. We don't expect you to know it all about the Bible. And you can be a life group leader. We don't expect you to know it all about anything, and you do it. I don't know everything about ushering. I shouldn't usher. No, you should be an usher, and we'll teach you how to usher. You follow me? I'm going to belong to, and then I become better at it. Praise God. You know what? I believe that this is the way Jesus led the disciples. You know, these are 12 clowns that definitely didn't have it together. Y'all don't believe me? Jesus had been with them 3.5 years, and Peter still chopped homeboy's ear off. He missed the old turn the other cheek message, didn't he? So don't tell me he had it all together. They didn't have it all together. But listen, their not having it together did not disqualify them to serve Jesus. Because what you'll find out is, as you serve God, God will work through you and in you to serve his people. Amen? All right, so check this out. So not only has God called you to serve His church, in His church, God has called you to serve as His church. Now, one of them has to do with what you do here. One of them has to do with what you do there. And when I say there, I'm talking about the harvest fields. I'm talking about where you work, your job, your business, whatever you do. God has called you to serve there. I love what D.L. Moody said. He said, preach always, sometimes use words. See, everywhere you go, you can impact the world that you live in. How many of you believe that the world is a dark, dark, ungodly place sometimes? I believe that. And I know there are people within our culture and in our community and all that that want God out of everything. I am not naive. I understand that. They want God out of everything. But here's what we should know that they don't know. That there is no such thing as an open, no area for God. There is no area. Now, let me explain what I'm saying. There are no vacuums. There are no safe places. Here's the truth. When you remove God from anything, the enemy moves in. That's the reality of it. If you move God out, the enemy moves in. It isn't like we're going to remove God and keep the devil out. No, the only thing the devil knows is a force greater than himself. And the only force that is greater than the enemy is the greater kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. So by keeping God moving forward, the enemy stays back. When we remove God out of things, then the enemy moves in. And understand this, the motive of the enemy is to do three things. He is here to steal, kill, and destroy. Absolutely. When the enemy moves in, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When God moves in, he comes to give us life and have it so we can have it to its fullest or abundant life, which is a kicking name for a church, praise God. Kicking name for a church. See, here's the truth. We are here. The church is here. And how many of you know when I say church, I'm not talking about the building. How many know? Who's the church? We are the church. We are the church, all right? So get this. We are the church. So now get this. If that's true, the church does not exist for us, right? We are the church, right? So what does that mean? We are the church and we exist for the world. We are here to impact the world around us. We are here to impact them. We are the church. One of the greatest damages that I think has ever been done, this is just my opinion, not that of everybody's, okay? It's shocking I would say that, huh? But here's the reality. The reality is I believe that the whole idea of clergy laity does damage in the kingdom. I don't believe in clergy laity. I do believe that there are some called to lead, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I believe that. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through whatever. But anyway, but my point being is this. I don't believe that there's my job, your job for the lost. I believe that there is lost people. I believe that I'm the church. I believe that you're the church. And I believe it's our responsibility to touch them. Amen. Oh, that's the pastor's job. No, it's our job. Why? Because we're the church, right? If you show up in a building, the church is there, right? If Pastor Charlie shows up, the church is there, right? Isn't that right? Absolutely, 100%. We are the church. You are a part of something far bigger and greater than yourself, yes. Right? And you're to serve in the church, but you're to serve to the world as the church. The Bible says that you are living epistles known and read of all men. You believe that? Yes. That people sometimes judge who Jesus is by your conduct and your affairs, yes. Right? Absolutely. Should we represent as servants, our King well? Absolutely, for sure. This is what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5:14. You are the light of the world. You believe that? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it in a basket, nor a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the what? House. See, I know there are people in the culture that would say the church needs to go away. They ought to thank God that the church is here. Because the church is the light. Let's go a little bit further. This comes real home whenever I said this. I was working at a body shop at one time whenever I first got out of the military, came home. I'm working at a body shop. And I'll be honest with you, I was annoyed with my boss when I said this. I know that's hard to believe I'd get wound up about anything. But I was working there, and my boss would... Anybody ever been around people that are not saved that will purposely do things because they know you do love Jesus? Well, he was having one of those moments. And I was having one of my moments. So he started talking all this crazy stuff, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, you ought to thank God I work here. And I didn't say this was godly. I'm saying this was all flesh, but this is how I felt. I told him, I said, you ought to thank God I work here. He goes, why is that? I said, because the only reason God blesses this place is because I work here. I told you it's all flesh. I'm just telling you how I felt. I said, you ought to thank God I work here. Because truthfully, this place deserves judgment. This place deserves, I mean, I'm like back in the Old Testament, Elijah calling out bears to eat them, you know? That's where I'm at with this guy. Anyway, so I'm sitting there, and I said, you ought to thank God that I work here, because here's the reality. The reality is, God knows I need to provide for my family, and God is using this place to provide for my family. But as soon as I leave here, I promise you, the darkness is going to settle in over this place, and this place ain't going to be here. That went over well. That went over well. Hey, guess what? I worked there another year or so, and I left that place. And can I tell you, wasn't too many years past that, they folded up and shut down. Folded up and shut down. Why? Because darkness had taken over that place. Now, again, what I said and how I said it was not right. That was not being a light. That was being a thorn. Okay? So I admit I was a little immature about how I felt about the situation, but I will tell you this, my mentality has not changed. My mentality has not changed. And what I mean of it is this. We are the light. We are the light. I believe that God put me there to be a light to those people. I wasn't the greatest light sometimes, okay? But I was the best light I could possibly be at that time of my life. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I wasn't drinking, cussing, and all that stuff, but I got annoyed with them because of how they lived and how they conducted their affairs. I know that's probably never happened to you, but it happened to me, all right? Now, my point is this. I did recognize, though, that I was the light there in that place to witness to those guys. And some of those people are still my friends to this day. Now, are they saved? No. Am I still praying for them? Yeah. Am I still believing for them? Yeah. Am I calling out bears to eat them? No, not anymore. Right? So, you see, here's the truth. The truth is right here. You are the light of the world. And sometimes, let me say it this way. This will make more sense. Sometimes you'll be put in situations that no one else in your workplace will be put in. And what we oftentimes think is we think it's a time that the enemy's trying to attack us, when really it's God trying to promote us in their eyes. I'll give you an example of that. Same shop. They asked me to write estimate. I said, all right. Did an estimate. They came to me and said, can't do estimates. We don't want you writing estimates. Why? You're too honest. I'm too honest. Now, I could take that as a slam. And let me go a little bit further. I could compromise my faith and my integrity and say, okay, what do you want me to write down? Come on. Right. Or I could say, good, I didn't want to write them anyway. No, here's the truth. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, here's the way I see it. This is the damage. This is what needs to be fixed. It's the way I see it. In my world, I'm not going to cheat nobody. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm saying? Because here's the reality. The reality is there are more things on the line than just my little job here. For one, I call myself a believer, and you should be able to look at it from the outside and see I'm a believer. Right? Number two, how about this? My promotion is not in your hands, Mr. Boss Man. My promotion comes from the Lord. And whether you like it or not, I'm going to do what pleases him because I'm his servant before I'm your servant. And promotion will come from him, not you. Amen? Amen. That's the reality. That's how you got to see it, man. That is exactly how you have to see it. I don't know what just happened here. I don't know. Hold on. Sorry. I hit the wrong button. Hold on. Man, that was good, too. That was really good. I was really flowing there. I felt that. All right. Here's the reality. Let me get back to where, okay, now for some reason my iPad just blinked. All right, check this out. Serving is the greatest investment you'll ever make. You believe that? Serving is the greatest investment you'll ever make. I'll tell you how I look at it. Let me tell you how I look at serving. It's very interesting. How many of you know that someday we'll attend what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb? After the rapture of the church, we'll all be together. It's what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I don't know about you, but whenever I think of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and again, I don't know if it's going to be like this, so please, this is just my story, my perspective, Charlie Riley Amplified version, all right? So we have this long table, and there's thousands of people on this side, thousands of people on that side, and we're sitting there. And let's say, supposedly, you sit down, and I'm not, when I say you, I'm talking about it indiscriminately, somebody in the kingdom. You sit down beside someone, and you look to your left, and maybe there's some Pakistani girl sitting beside you. You notice she's got dark complexion. You ask her, hey, what's your name? She tells you her name, and you say, you know, what did you do on the earth to get to heaven? What did you do? She says, you know what? I was born in Pakistan. I lived in Pakistan. The Taliban came through, and when they did, they were telling people to deny their faith, and I refused to deny my faith, and they beheaded me, but you know what? I have an eternal reward in God. It's like, wow, that's awesome. Maybe you turn over to the right side of the person on the right side. Man, what did you do? Well, I was a missionary in the jungles of the Congo. And I ministered to 14 people for 30 years. And after that, I died, you know. And now I'm here in heaven now. And I get my eternal reward. Talk to the person across the table from you, maybe. And you're talking to them. And you go, what did you do? Well, I just attended church. But you know what? I prayed every day for my pastor, for my church, for the community, for this and that and the other. And God called me to just pray, and I was faithful to my calling. And I prayed every day. It's like, wow. And can you imagine those people looking at you and going, well, what did you do? Well, I thought about ushering. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I mean, I would think, I would be like, I gave my heart to Christ on my deathbed. Yeah, I didn't do anything. And even that would be like, wow, you didn't do anything? I mean, I don't know about you, and again, I'm not trying to put pressure on you or manipulate you, but I am trying to tell you this, that someday this life will pass. And when we get to heaven, what will matter is what we did to serve him on this planet. And I don't know about you, but I know with me in my heart, I want to do everything I can on this planet to say, when my life is over, I served him to the best of my ability. I did my best. I invested my best. I did my best. I gave it my all. Sure, I messed up. Sure, I jacked some things up. Maybe I didn't make every decision exactly right. But you know what? At the end of the day, I gave him my best. And when I get to heaven, if the Lord looks at me and says, well, Charlie, you jacked this up, but you gave your best, I'll tell you what, that'll be good enough for me. That'll be good enough for me. Because like with my kids, I always tell my kids, I don't care if you win or lose, but give me your best. That's all I care about. And I can tell you with me, I don't care if I win or lose, but I know I want to give him my best. And that's all I believe God would ask of you, that you will give him your best. And when I say give him your best, you'll give him your best in the church, and you'll give him your best in the community serving him. That's all God would ask for you. See, because at the end of your day, at the end of my day, here's what I want to hear. At the end of all my days, here's what I want to hear. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful. Notice it didn't say leader, pastor, bishop, elder, deacon, usher, greeter, business owner, bank teller, Burger King maker. Doesn't matter. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. At the end of my day, that's what I want to hear. You were faithful with a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Can I tell you, that's what I want to hear when it's all said and done. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap.